Welcome to Home and Family Finance with Paul Barry. It's your family, it's your finances, and it's your future. Home and Family Finance is sponsored by the Defense Credit Union Council, serving those who serve our country, and by CUNA, the Credit Union National Association. Now, here's the host of Home and Family Finance, Paul Barry.
And happy November, everyone. November 2015. Can you believe we're really racing right through another year here, and we're very pleased to have you on the program. This is program show number 440. That means since we started 7 or 8 years ago, we've done 440 shows, and we hope that you've listened to each and every one of them, because the information that we impart here is about your home, your family, and your finances, the information that you need to get through questions that sometimes you just don't know who to ask. But you don't have to worry. We have the answers and we have the experts, and today is no different. I don't know if you heard the report this week that came out that said, and this is interesting, it said that the iPhone is the most important innovation, the most important device that not only Americans, that is now available in the world. Can you believe that? The iPhone. It has changed the way we live. It's changed the way we do things. It has changed so much, and yet we sometimes know very little about it. We know how to turn it on, make a phone call, and we don't always know how to make it do everything it's supposed to do. But what we do know is that every so often they change. They say we've got a version 6 or a version not coming out, and everybody rushes because you want the new phone. But wait a minute. Can you get that new phone? Why not? Because you got a contract, and you got a deal, and maybe that stops you. My first guest today is going to talk about that. She knows a thing or two. Caitlin Pitzker is a online editor with Kiplinger, and she has written an article or two. But in this particular case, she's writing an article about the phones and the possibilities that you may face in terms of upgrading yourself or upgrading your phone. Can you do it? And if you do, what about the contract? We'll talk to her about things that, I mean, this is the kind of thing that would affect you directly in your pocketbook, because is it going to cost you more money? Do you have to stay with the old phone, or can you change things without causing too much of a problem? We'll ask Kiplinger's online editor, Caitlin Pitzker, to talk about that. She'll be with us. And then following that, if I say business to you, and all of us sometimes want to run a business, what kind of business do you want to run? Let me ask you this. Have you ever thought of these two terms together? Benevolent capitalism. A business that is kind company, running a company that is kind when it comes to business, that is gentle and caring, doesn't sound right, does it? Well, to my second guest today, that's exactly what he says is possible. And I think you'll enjoy the comments that Gary Douglas, who was a successful businessman, a writer, a CEO, all of that. And he'll be joining us to talk about telling you what you need to know from his perspective, if you plan to go into business. And most of us think about it anyway. Okay, that's where we're going. But let's start now with Caitlin Pitzker from Kiplinger. A new iPhone, but you're stuck with a 2-year contract. Caitlin, welcome to Home and Family Finance. Nice to have you on the show.
It's great to be here.
Absolutely. Listen, I think a lot of us are in that situation, aren't we? We have a contract, the new phone comes out, but are we able to get? What's going on here?
You've made a lot of great points already. The phone market is changing rapidly, particularly because there's so much competition between wireless carriers. And people really need to be aware of this because, as you said, people really like their phones. Their iPhone is one of their most important possessions sometimes, or their Galaxy or whatever smartphone they have is really a big part of their life. They may not be aware that their phone is a lot more expensive than some of these contract plans would indicate. A lot of people, if they've been on those 2-year contract plans for years, like many consumers,
yes,
have been paying roughly $200 each time they upgrade their phone every 2 years. But that's because there's been some really hefty subsidies that have come into play and made those phones seem pretty cheap. But overall, really, the cost of the iPhone is about $650, and consumers may be seeing that a little bit more and feeling it in their wallets.
So we're not really getting that phone for free. We're not really getting it at a discount. We're really paying full price for the equipment sooner or later. Is that your point?
You're describing it well. In the previous set up where most consumers were signing a two-year contract. They were locked into that plan for 2 years, and they paid a continuous rate throughout that time period. You'd get a nice discount on the phone, but really kind of behind the scenes, they'd wrap in the cost of that phone. You know, they knew they were going to be giving you a nice phone and that you wouldn't be paying for it each month. But now those two-year contracts are going the way of the rotary dial. There's a lot more flexibility as wireless carriers are trying to vie for a larger portion of the market.
Yeah.
So they're offering these flexible, no-contract options with lower-priced service plans. But the catch there is you're going to need to be willing to pay full price for your phone, which can be expensive, like we just spoke about.
So the catch here is that you can get the phone now, but they compensate from that by now telling you that you really are going to pay the $500 or $600 for each piece of equipment that you have.
You will pay full price for the phone, whether that's up front with these new plans. You can just pay it and be done with it, or you can spread it out over 1 to 2 years. A lot of the plans, the iPhone 6 runs about $27 a month for 2 years, but you do have the added flexibility. You can move carriers, do something else. If, say, you move and the service in the area that you're living in isn't great, or perhaps you change jobs and you go abroad and you no longer want a U.S.-based phone, something like that, you're no longer tied into a contract, which is nice for a lot of people. But they do need to budget for the changing plans, especially if they are going to be paying up front for that phone.
We're talking with Caitlin Pitzker. When we come back, we'll talk more about what you need to know when you decide that, okay, I'm going to upgrade. When is the right time? And is it okay to change from company to company? But no matter what you do, are you going to pay for it? It sounds like that's possibly the case. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm your host, Paul Berry.
Want you to be part of the show. Email us with your financial questions. Ask about the Defense Credit Union Council. Tell us what topics you want to hear about. Or just let us know what's on your mind. We'll give you the address in a few minutes. But now, more of Home and Family Finance with Paul Berry.
My guest is Kiplinger online editor Caitlin Pitzker. We're talking about, here's what caught my attention. It said, are you dying to get your hands on the new iPhone 6s but stuck in your two-year contract? Don't worry, there's a way out. What is the way out, Caitlin?
Well, if you have a two-year contract and you really are eager to get out, you can certainly ask your carrier about that, but you probably will be facing some sort of termination fee unless you're trying to stay with the same carrier. Then they might be able to kind of give you soften the blow there. You still probably will have a fee, but it may not be quite as ugly. But if you're looking to change, you definitely should talk to your carrier. Right now is a really good time to start reshopping your plan, particularly if you're coming towards the end of your contract. Carriers are really trying to vie for that market share and get new consumers on their plans. So it's a really good time to shop around, see what plans may be best for you. Because these new plans that we've been speaking about without the two-year contract,
they can actually
save some consumers money over the course of several years, or they can hurt you and hurt your wallet if you are a certain type of consumer as well.
So you got to be careful. You got to look at the small print here and say, okay, what are they really offering, right? I mean, but here's what we all see this, Caitlin. How does this work? I see the advertising. You're tired. You want a new phone. We'll buy the contract out. Come to us. What is it? Does that work or does it not work?
There are some really sweet deals out there, and if you can get in on one of them, that's wonderful. You just want to make sure that you're getting the type of phone service that you need. The first thing I would recommend if you're thinking about reshopping your plan or jumping ship with your carrier, take a look at your current bill, see what you're paying for, see how much data you actually use. A lot of consumers may actually be paying for way more data than they use on a typical month. So they could be paying through the nose for something that they're not even using. Take a look at what you're paying and what you use, and then shop around, see what else is out there. Some of these no-contract plans could actually benefit consumers, particularly people who tend to hang on to their phones a bit longer. Because what happens is after you've paid off that phone, the cost of the service, that's the text messaging, the calls, the data, the cost of the service goes down. So you've had that two-year period where you're paying, say, $27 a month or something for your iPhone. And then once that phone is paid off, if you're still happy with your phone and you're willing to hang on to it for a bit, you're going to see the cost of service decrease $15, $20, $30, which is a nice chunk of change over the course of another year if you'll hang on to that phone.
Yeah, here's what happened to me, and how dumb am I? I have a business plan. I have three children. My wife and I all on the same plan. And so I go into the store to get a cord or something. And says, you know, why don't you upgrade? It doesn't cost you anything. And so I said, really? I said, they said, yeah, what have you got? And they, and I said, you know, I've got the four or whatever I had. And they said, okay, you're good for the five or six, and each one of your kids are the same. And I said, great. And they said, we're going to give you $25 back, or whatever the AT&T person said. So I got them all new phones, Caitlin, only to find out that I had just bought $1,500 worth of telephones. I was billed that way later on, and I just raised holy heck about it. But there's nothing I could do. I mean, they were using it. What did I miss here?
Well, it sounds like you certainly had a salesperson who was very actively doing their job that day. But, you know, it's really good to check into the plans a little bit more before you actually jump and make the purchase. I know myself, when I've been shopping around for cell plans, I've gone into the store because I'm the type of consumer who likes to, like, look at the phone and feel it and see how it feels in my hand.
Right.
And then I'll go online and check out the pricing there. And sometimes even using the same carrier and the same plan, sometimes there's some differences there. And also you don't feel the pressure when you're sitting in your living room looking at a computer screen instead of in the store, so I can really think it through and decide what I'm going to need for my personal phone usage.
Okay, so in other words, again, it's about shoppers beware. Don't do the dumb thing I did. I bought everybody a new phone, and I think I paid about $300 or $400 per phone, if not more. So I ended up and they financed this, by the way, in their own way. It says, okay, over each month you pay a little bit on this down. I mean, it's a very slick way, but ultimately, as you point out, I ended up paying full price for those telephones, didn't I?
It sounds like you probably did. I think the silver lining here, if you will, is that you probably will see a discount on your service over the course of time. So if you're paying full price for your phone, as a lot of consumers will be with these new plans since the major mobile carriers are moving in this direction,
yeah.
If you're paying full price, you're going to eventually see your service costs go down a little bit, which at least is nice, even though you kind of get dinged up front with that initial shock of paying full price for your phone.
Caitlin Pitzker is my guest. We're talking about your iPhone, the most important device you have today. When we come back, we'll make sure you know where to go to find out more about this from the article that she wrote. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm your host, Paul Berry. Listening to Home and Family Finance on Radio America. I'm your host, Paul Berry, and we thank you for joining us. Our program sponsors are the Defense Credit Union Council, that's the DCUC, and the CUNA, the Credit Union National Association. And we thank them for their continued support of the program, dedicated to making all of us financially fit. Speaking about the Defense Credit Union Council, and you've heard me tell you before, and its member credit unions, they believe that financial readiness equals mission readiness and supports the efforts of military saves and their dedication to improving the well-being of our troops, wherever they may be serving. Military Saves is a year-round campaign that seeks to motivate, support, and encourage military families to save money, reduce debt, and build wealth. As part of the Department of Defense's financial readiness campaign, Military Saves acts as a resource center for information on financial education and counseling. Check out its links to useful websites for military families where they can learn better money management, and they can find partners who can help military members achieve their financial goals. Military Saves. Set a goal, make a plan, save automatically. Go to militarysaves.org for more information and take the Savers Pledge today. And as we always remind you, you don't have to be in the military to save, no matter who you are, where you are. Make sure you're saving a little bit of something every week. It pays off in the long run. My guest today, as we continued our conversation, is Caitlin Pitzker. She's online editor for Kiplinger. We're talking about the new iPhone. Everybody seems to want it. It's supposedly the most innovative and the most important design development in our lifetimes. Can you believe that? Caitlin certainly knows about it. Caitlin, your article, where can we find your article? And do you agree that the iPhone is that important in our lives?
The iPhone is so important to so many of us, and generally any smartphone. I know a lot of people who are really fond of their Samsung Galaxies and their other smartphones that they love. But it's really important to try to save money on it, too. You know, make sure you're making smart consumer decisions on those plans and on the actual device itself. You can find my article about cell phone subsidies in the November issue of Kiplinger's Personal Finance, which is currently on newsstands, as well as on Kiplinger.com. We actually have some more cell phone coverage in our December issue, which will be coming on newsstands shortly, where we name some of the best phone plans for different types of phone users.
Okay, and I appreciate that. And by the way, folks, it's the, I think you're talking about the December issue of the online editor. Is that what
the
you mean?
Story about cell phone subsidies is in our November issue, and then the story that we actually run an annual best list every year, and that's in our December issue. And within that, we're naming the best cell phones for different types of phone users, particularly of interest for some people who are thinking about the subsidies going away, are those people who are, say, dying to have their hands on the latest smartphone at all times. Sprint iPhone Forever plan, for example, is a great way to do that. So someone who's looking to make sure they always have the greatest, latest and greatest smartphone is going to want to look at something like that.
Okay, here's the question everybody's sitting there saying. Do I need to have a plan, a two-year plan? Do I have to sign anything anymore? What's the best deal for me at this point?
There are still ways to have a two-year contract if that's something that you prefer or you're just most comfortable that way. But it is really getting a little bit more challenging to do that. T-Mobile actually started doing away with two-year plans. They led the charge back in 2013. And then the other three major U.S. carriers, that's AT&T, Sprint, and Verizon, started their own voluntary programs. And then over this past summer, Sprint announced that they were eliminating long-term contracts. Verizon followed suit. And it's really getting harder to do it, so that's why you need to be aware of it if you're thinking about giving up your two-year contract.
Well, I think the thing, Caitlin, the question that people are saying is, why do I have a two-year contract if I can buy this phone or use this phone without the two-year contract? But it's just not that simple to answer, is it?
Well, it actually, for a lot of people, it is going to be the way they have to go. Unless they stick with their kind of grandfathered two-year contract, they're going to be looking at these flexible plans. And it can be really nice. You get that added flexibility. You have no contract, nothing that's going to tie you to them if something in your life changes. But you just need to be aware of it as you're looking at phones and plan that into your budget, particularly if you're someone who's going to want to pay it up front and just kind of be done with that obligation.
And look into your crystal ball for us, Caitlin. Where do you see, where's all this going? I mean, are we, what's going to happen from your point of view in the future here with the iPhone? Is it just going to,
you know,
go ahead.
That is a really good question and something I've kind of been pondering over. You know, I think consumers with this change are going to be more aware of how expensive their smartphones are. Until now, it's been really easy to think that they're, you know, $200. It's expensive, but it's not that bad. And suddenly, we're all starting to realize that they're $650, $700 for these things. But I've been looking at some of the new technology that they're working on, and I'm hoping to see maybe there's some great phones that'll come out that'll be a little bit cheaper in the future, but it's certainly not around the corner. It's not something we're going to see come January or February, I don't think.
Yeah, but keep your eye out. Caitlin, what a pleasure to have you on the program. I mean, this is such an important topic because all of us, in some form or fashion, we're using these phones today. And so, you know, I think the important message that you say is stay on top of things, know what's going on, read your contracts, and be prepared to get the best deal you can get. Would you agree? You agree?
Yes, I agree. And now's a really good time to start rethinking these things, especially if you're coming up on end of your two-year contract. Take the time to reshop and see if you're getting the best value for your dollar.
Coming up next, benevolent capitalism? There's two words that you might not think you'd see together, but my guess says they belong together. Stay with us.
Helping you be safe, smart, and secure with your finances. Welcome back to Home and Family Finance with your host, Paul Berry.
You know, I've been doing this program now for 8 years, over 400 shows. I have traveled around the country, talked to folks who listen. One of the things that always intrigues me is how many of us, if not most of us, think that we want to go into business for ourselves. We really do. We think, you know, I could do this, I could do that. Not that many of us do it. Of those who do, it then becomes a question of what kind of business are you going into? What is your concept of business? Let me ask you this question. Is your concept of business, is it one that would be kind and gentle, a benevolent, a form of capitalism? Probably not. I was struck and intrigued when I received an email from folks representing Gary Douglas, who is a CEO, he is an author, he is a gentleman who has started a lot of different things and been successful in his life. And one of the things that he is successful in, or believes in anyway, is benevolent capitalism, that you don't have to be a hard butt to be a successful business person. Now, that might fly in the face of what a lot of folks think, but Gary, a psychologist and a sought-after international speaker, he started some time ago Access Consciousness, some 25 years ago. His work has spread to 173 countries, and he's here joining us. He's in Houston right at the moment, but he's taking the time to be with us on the program. That's a very interesting concept, Gary, benevolent capitalism. Does it work?
Yes, it does. And it's like, you know, the funny part about it is, it's like we did a benevolent capitalism. We did a four-day class in Melbourne, Australia. And from that, we had like 50 people, and we are starting a 20-minute blog thing to actually have people share what occurred for them. And one of the things that's funny, we did this benevolent capitalism class, and there was a guy who he'd grown up in Austria. And so Austria was a socialist country for a long time. I think still is. But they, you know, it's like he grew up a socialist. And I gave him flack about, you know, you can't be a capitalist and a socialist, and you're trying to make money. So how do you do both? And, you know, you need to look at it and look at it. So what do I really want to create? And the thing about socialism and communism and all these different isms is they were all designed with the idea of making something better.
Uh-huh. Well,
and, you know, and the original definition of capitalism was to increase your per capita, your head of stock, basically.
Okay.
So it's like it was about having more cattle in your life or more wives or something. I'm not sure.
Well,
but
I think it's an intriguing idea. And let me first of all say welcome to the show and thank you for joining us. I should, you know, start that way. But I'm so intrigued by this idea that somebody is willing to say, yes, you can be kind, you can be gentle, and you can be successful in business. And that's what you're saying. If you happen to operate from benevolent capitalism, you can make money, be successful, but still be a human being.
Yeah, you can. And it's like, for me, it's like, you know, the old idea of benevolent is to do well for all.
Give us an example.
Yeah.
Give some companies that you say operate from the benevolent concept.
Okay, so for, you know, it's like with my business, okay? I will hire somebody to work for me, but I will, you know, it's like I don't go, okay, I need somebody who does this, this, and this. I say, these are the 10 things I need done. Which of these are you good at?
Okay.
And, you know, it's like nobody hires that way except me. And it's like, which of these are good at and which of these would you like to do? And as a result, the people who come go, what, I get to choose my job? I said, sure. It's like, you know, it's like I can do anything.
They're going to be a lot more productive, aren't they? If they believe that you want them to do what they're best at, you're going to get a more productive person if it matches up to your business.
Exactly. And that's what I'm most interested in. How do I get people to be the most productive they can possibly be? And that's actually occurring.
Okay.
And I get these people to change the way they look at things. And I talked to one lady that I had working for me. And she said, well, you have this choice, and this choice. And this one has, I said, wait, hold, please. Okay, look, I hired you for your awareness, not to give me stats. I can find stats on my own.
Right, right.
I don't want stats. I want to know what works.
I think it's fascinating because what you're saying is that you are actually asking that person there questions that give you a better insight as to how, where, and where they would be most productive for you.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. And it's like it's so amazing because, I mean, I have people who go, you know, that go to work with me, and I consider people work with me, not for me. Because for you means you have to keep on top of and make sure everything's going on. And it's like, that's micromanagement. And micromanagement always fails. It always fails.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it's like, from my perspective, you got to look at how do you get this person to be the best they can be, and in so doing, support you in becoming the best you can be. And that's what I do with people. It's like they start to work with me. They say, okay, my job is going to be this. And then pretty soon they're doing three times the amount that they started out doing for no more money because they're so enthused about the fact that they actually get to do what they love.
It's such an interesting concept, and I suspect, and when we come back, I'll ask you the question, I'll ask you it again, name me some companies besides yours, which is Access Consciousness, and folks, it's practiced in over 173 countries, and he operates several other companies, including that, and it's a $10 million business, so we have a person who knows from whence he speaketh, and when we come back, I'll ask him to name some companies besides Access and Consciousness that he thinks are benevolent capitalists. List at work. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm your host, Paul Berry.
We want you to be part of the show. Email us with your financial questions. Ask about the Defense Credit Union Council. Tell us what topics you want to hear about. Or just let us know what's on your mind. We'll give you the address in a few minutes. But now, more of Home and Family Finance with Paul Berry.
My guest is a successful businessman, Gary Douglas. He doesn't believe what many people believe, that the business is seen as a hard, ruthless game, and that the word capitalism rarely conjures up images of kindness and goodwill. But he believes it is not only possible but easy to run a business that increases your wealth and contributes to society simultaneously. And Gary, give me three or four companies that you say are a perfect example, successful and benevolent.
Well, it's like none of them are totally benevolent, but they are all edging in that direction. Like if you look at Whole Foods, it's like they want to do the best for everybody, mm-hmm. and they do their best to contribute as much as they can to the people that are supporting them, the people that serve them, and the people they serve. And it's like if you take that kind of point of view, you're on the road. I can't, off the top of my head, remember there were two other ones that we had in our list of things.
Starbucks?
Right.
Gap?
No.
No?
No.
Nordstrom?
No.
Okay. Honeywell?
No.
Levi Strauss?
No.
So there are not many companies. I mean, that's the problem. Let me ask you, here's a question, and tell me this. Obviously, we're in the midst of the political silly season, and I steer far away from politics because there are plenty of other programs out there doing it. But since he is a businessman and well-known, would you describe Donald Trump as a benevolent capitalist?
You're fired. What do you think?
Okay. Now he would say, of course, but I'm a success, and I'm a success because I am a hard ass, but not true.
Yeah, but it's like a hard ass doesn't make you a success. A hard ass means that you get to get rid of people when you decide they're not doing everything you want. Mm-hmm. Why is that more important than looking at what the world needs, etc.? It's like right now, for an example, we're like mining like crazy. And it's like, and we're throwing away, in the United Kingdom alone, they throw away 100,000 cell phones per month. Now, each one of those cell phones has, and just gold and silver, not mentioning copper and other things, it has a minimum of $2 to $5 worth of silver and gold in it. What would be easier to mine? And there are new technologies. Like, there's this fungus, a mushroom, that actually attracts gold and silver to it. And you could put that with these things, and we've done research to try and find out about some of these things. Mm-hmm. These are ways in which you can create, you can get that gold or that silver out of that thing. It's like you still have waste products, but that's an amazing thing. Mm-hmm. There was a young kid that was on... it was in the news. It's like he won Sweden. He won the award for having come up with a filter system that costs $20 that will take heavy metals out of your water. He did it because he was Indian in background, and he went to India to visit his grandparents and discovered all of this toxic waste that's a result of all the computers that had been thrown away into the dump and into the water supply is there. And it's like he developed this thing, and he's giving it away. He's giving it away. Now, this is a benevolent capitalist. Mm-hmm. He knows that we've got to improve the world if we're to survive. And most people are looking at how they take their share of the pie, not how they make a sustainable planet that can support us and grow beyond us. Whole different universe.
Yeah, it really is. I was interested in one part of your list of things that makes a company successful. And, of course, to get back to that, asking the question of the person that you're hiring, you know, what questions have I not asked you that you would like me to know about you? It sounds so simple, and yet it's something that when I'm the boss, I don't think that makes me feel like I'm in charge. In your case, you're saying that's exactly what makes you in charge, because you are willing to listen to the good things and the thoughts of the people that you hire. Right. I mean, that's just, it's so counterintuitive to how we think about what being the boss is.
You know? Yeah. Well, everybody has this point of view that the top of the pyramid chooses everything, and then it filters down to the lower levels. And it's like, my point of view is, it's like the people on the, on the shooting line are the people that get all the information. Should all that information filter down to the head of the company, so he can make decisions that actually support the company in a dynamic way.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like I said this to a lady just a few days ago, and she was like horrified that I thought that, everything shouldn't come from the head of the company. It should come from the bottom of the company to the head of the company, so that they know how to make the correct decisions that change everything.
My guest is Gary Douglas, investor, CEO, author. He has done a number of important things, but the reason you're listening to him, folks, is because he's been there and done that. He has failed, and he is now successful, and he's somebody you should listen to. But here's something important that I want my audience. You say the three top tips to running a successful company is empower your staff, always ask questions, and then be willing to lose everything?
Yes. See, it's like if you're willing to lose everything, then you're not trying to hold on as though you've got the right answer. An example, Kodak film, okay? Kodak was a major company, but they decided that digital was just not that, that great, and it would never take off. Kodak is now out of business.
Yeah.
That was not a good idea. The problem is, when you think you've got the right idea, you try to hold on to everything. For fear you're not going to have anything in the future. I mean, with Steve Jobs, one of the things he did is he would like close down a section where he'd spend millions of dollars in research and put his attention someplace else, because that was the place where people were dying to get something. So he was always willing to be on the creative edge of possibility instead of the cutting edge of the technology. Cutting edge of the technology, somebody's going to get cut. Who's it going to be? You or somebody else.
Yeah.
If you're on the creative edge, you're always looking for the other possibility, the other thing that will create more.
Fascinating thoughts, folks. Benevolent capitalism. While we're away, I'm going to ask Gary to think of at least one other company besides Whole Foods that he thinks it represents benevolent capitalism. We'll come back and ask him that and what else he thinks is important that you should know, especially if you're about to start a business or you think you'd be a good businessman or woman. This is Home and Family Finance. We'll be right back. Family Finance. I'm your host, Paul Berry, here on the Radio America Network. We are very pleased to have with us Gary Douglas, a successful entrepreneur, a businessman, a writer, and he's just an investor, somebody that has been out there and done it and says, hey, if you're going to do it the classy way. Care about the people you sell to, care about the products you sell, care about the business you're in, be benevolent, be kind. Well, Gary, that certainly sounds like pie in the sky to somebody listening. They're saying that's not how successful businesses made it. And your response is?
I'm successful. That's how I made it.
Okay.
I started out with $0, okay? In my lifetime, I've lost everything four times.
Four times?
Four times. I lived at one time in my life, I lived with my son, my 5-year-old son, in a closet that wasn't much bigger than a queen-size bed. In fact, it wasn't as big as a queen-size bed. And it's like, I had a single mattress on the floor in the closet, and that's where I lived with my kid. I was spending $50 a week on cornflakes and milk because I couldn't afford anything else. And it's like, I've been at the bottom. I like it much better when I'm closer to the top, and I'm still not there yet. you go through the times when you're down all the way, and you go, okay, so what do I need to do here? And one of the things that's a big topic of conversation in business is risk management and managing the risk. My point of view is you don't have to risk everything, but you have to be willing to lose everything. If you're going to lose everything, then you will tend to keep on top of everything you need to keep on top of to make sure you don't lose. And that's called awareness. And it's like if everybody sought awareness, a whole different possibility would occur.
Interesting. Where can you find more information about your programs and about benevolent capitalism?
Well, it's like we have a website called benevolentcapitalism.com. And it's like you can go to that. You can just look up benevolent capitalism. And my co-founders with this are Steve and Chutissa Bowman. And they are people who work with boards and not-for-profits in Australia. And they've gone around the world trying to introduce the possibility and the question. It's like if you live in the question, you don't try to compute everything and figure it out. If you try to figure everything out, you're trying to make everything a zero and a one instead of, okay, what's actually possible? What else is possible?
Mm-hmm.
You start looking from that point of view, a whole different universe starts to open up.
If we're talking to some person, and we are to many right now listening who say, okay, I want to start a business. What do I do? What's the most important things? What are the most four or five most important elements that I need to have to be successful from your point of view?
Well, from my point of view, start out with what do I really want to create in the world, okay? You know, for me, I came up with six things. Number one, I wanted to do something that actually improved the world. Number two, I wanted to do something that was never boring. Number three, I wanted something that would make me at least $100,000 a year. And number four, I wanted to do something that would actually give me a sense that I had actually, that my life had been worth living at the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
And number five, where do I start? And I took that and I sort of put it out in the universe and I pulled energy into it from all over the universe. And I let little trickles go out to the entire universe and everybody who was looking for me asked them to show up in my life. And that's actually how it began. And that's the technique I use with people. When I start with them, when they start to work with me, what are the elements of your life? How do you want to do it? Do you want to travel? What do you want to do? It's not about do you want a BMW. It's not about do you want a five-bedroom house. It's not any of those things that create the life you'd like to have. It's what you're willing to be and do and have and create and generate to make your life having been worth living at the end of your life.
Do you find, and I guess there has to be qualities in leadership, and then we got to wrap it up, but is there one particular quality that you're looking for that says to you, this guy or this gal could be a successful leader?
Yeah, one successful thing. Mm-hmm. Man who asks questions and listens. Listens to the answer. There are lots of people who will ask you a question but don't listen to your answer. They use it as a stepping stone to tell you something more about them.
Mm-hmm.
Always ask the question.
Ask the question. My guest is Gary Douglas. The question I asked him is, would he come on the show? And he said yes. And I'm certainly glad that you did, Gary. It's a pleasure listening to you. Come back and see us again soon, would you please?
Thank you much. It was a pleasure.
Absolutely. You can find more about him at benevolentcapitalism.com. And you can get more about this program by listening every week. We hope that you do. We'll be back next week, same time, same place. Home and Family Finance here on Radio America. Al Peterson, thank you very much for your time. Tally Berry, wherever you are, thank you for your production pieces. And we'll be back next week looking for you. And thank you for your attendance.